Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the Second Tier Preview Show, brought to you by SBK. I'm Ryan Dilks and I'm joined by the Danny Cowley to my John Mussino. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
So alas, this is the third last game week of the Championship campaign and we're still left with questions which are driving us insane. Who's going up? Who's going down? Will Enzo Maresca ever grow a smile instead of a frown? Well, this is what we live for here in the second tier. All the twists and turns that happen throughout the year. So buckle up your seatbelts as we fly towards the end. Justin, you smell like piss, my Ben Osborne looking friend.
Why? I mean, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful poem. And I hope Sky use that for their end of season end of season montage that they do. With exception to the final line.
I just thought, you know, we'd add a bit of class to the second
tier. Oh, yes. We use class.
Exactly. We need a bit of class every so often, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And I think for the most part, I bring it. I mean, you're there looking all ruffled in a football shirt, like you smell of piss. You look like you smell of piss right now. to be honest, if you was watching on YouTube,
but hey, where's your poem? That's the question I would ask. If I'm not bringing the class, you just think of the classical poems, the laureates over the years.
Took some digging, didn't it?
they often, you know, didn't have the tidiest of haircuts either. So you know what? I'm channeling my inner John Cooper Clarke. Is that his name?
Wow. Well, yeah, bit of fact-checking there. Yeah, they might have had ruffled hair, but at least they didn't smell of piss like you do. So there is that.
Well, why are you just using the insults that I use against you, against me now all of a sudden? Why didn't you be a bit original for once, Justin? I've just gone to the effort of writing a lovely poem for things.
I'm not going to write poems. I'm not sad enough. I'm not a virgin. I've got a life to live.
Okay. Whatever.
I'm a cool one.
Let's get things back on track, shall we? Welcome to the Number One Championship Podcast, the second tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Yes, this is the preview show brought to you by SBK, and that means we're looking ahead to the weekend in the Championship. And boy, oh boy, is there a lot at stake. So we're going to be talking about all sorts in this, but we're obviously going to be talking about our game of the weekend and then be making our predictions for the weekend as well. So that's all coming up, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, we have Scott High or Ryan Low right at the end of the show. So let's kick things off with our game of the weekend, which is the Saturday lunchtime clash between Leicester City and West Bromwich Albion. Leicester are 4-7 to win this one with SBK, while West Brom are 5-1. The draw is 31-10. And this is a massive game, Justin, which of course may potentially be a playoff match in a few weeks' time, lest we forget.
And that makes it all the more tasty. And obviously, of course, if you bring into account the fact that the previous game at the Hawthorns earlier on in the season was quite dramatic. Obviously, Harry Winks scored the last-minute winner from a West Brom corner, and all that needed to happen was Jason Malumbe. I can't remember who was breaking away, who had the ball at that point. All he needed to do was trip whoever was running, and the game would have ended in a draw. But it was a remarkable situation. Obviously, Harry Winks went on to score to tap in the winner in the final game. And it just adds to the drama. Obviously, the fact this could be a playoff game also adds to the drama. Obviously, West Brom need to solidify their place in the playoffs. Leicester need to get promoted. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful game and a beautiful kickoff on Saturday.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that game, Justin, because if you cast your mind back, heading into the reversed fixture of this, Leicester had won just 1-4. It was their first real wobble of the season. Mm-hmm. And so they were heading to the Hawthorns and people were thinking, will this continue? Is this Leicester starting to show that they are human? And then they manage to beat West Brom and then go on a 5-game winning run after that. And, you know, end up cruising to the top of the Championship. But now here we are several months on. And Leicester are once again crumbling, heading into a game against West Brom. So will they get it back on track? I don't know, Justin, because the question is, will this Leicester City crumble continue? They've lost back-to-back games against Plymouth and Millwall, failed to score in both. And it's interesting to see what our friends at SBK are saying. They still have Leicester as the firm favourites to win the league at 8-13, while Ipswich are 4-1, the next most likely to win the league as things stand with SBK. So, Justin Peach, do you have confidence in Leicester City turning this around?
No, absolutely not. They've gone away to two teams who are battling relegation, not scored against them. Have had a boatload of chances, but they've not found the net. And they've come away with two defeats. And they're coming up against a West Brom side who are very good at keeping clean sheets. So naturally, it's going to be a very difficult game for them. And as well as that, it doesn't help that Maresca's starting players, who are wildly out of form, putting the finger at Patson Daka, who can't seem to hit the target for love nor money. Almost looks like he's doing things on purpose just to add to the furor of Leicester fans, to add to the spice, but obviously that's not going to be the case. So yeah, this Leicester side can't score. They're coming up against a West Brom team who enjoy frustrating teams. This is going to be a tactical battle. It's going to be one of those a game of who blinks first. I mean, if Maresca starts Tom Cannon, maybe that might help, because he's a clinical goal scorer and he's not really been given a chance yet this season, barring injuries. So give him minutes, he might score goals. But yeah, as I say, Maresca likes to start those players who are out of form, like Leicester.
Yeah, well, it's interesting who is going to be starting up front for Leicester, because they desperately needed a striker to find their shooting boots, don't they? And that's why Maresca's got a decision to make. Does he go with Vardy, Daka, Iheanacho, Cannon? I think we can disregard Daka from that equation after his woeful showing against Plymouth, and he's certainly been getting a lot of fury from Leicester fans recently. So it'll be really interesting to see who they go with. You'd imagine the most likely selection is going to be Jamie Vardy, but whoever he picks, they're not banging form right now, no, are they? But it's not even just the strikers. Everyone just seems to be out of form. And that's why they could really do with someone other than the strikers being able to find the back of that, because that would really help, wouldn't it? So look, you're a side struggling to put chances away. Who is one of the last sides in the Championship you would want to face right now? Probably a West Brom side coached by Carlos Corbrand, Justin.
Yeah, it's a worrying thought, isn't it? And it's one of those where you sort of go gulp. You know, you're a really audible gulp in you when you're a Leicester fan or anyone associated with Leicester, because this team is so well coached. And I'd probably argue that Corbrand's a better tactician than Endo Maresca. Would you agree with that? Maybe Corbrand the best tactician in the whole division. Would you agree with that?
I think we've certainly got more evidence with Corbrand, haven't we? Just because Maresca's not been around as long as him. So I don't think it's a completely unbelievable shout, Justin.
Well, you've got Maresca, who's a very style of play led coach. Then you've got Corbrand, who likes to play to the strengths of his teams and exploit the weaknesses of opposition. That, to me, is a good tactician. And he's shown that he can play to the strengths of this West Brom team, because, as I say, it's a vastly experienced side, not a lot of youth within it. And he's had to tap into players that managers like Valerian Ismail, Steve Bruce, and who else has managed West Brom? Yeah, just Ismail and Steve Bruce. For some reason, in the Championship, I was going as far back as Slaven Bilic, but I'm getting confused with Watford now. But what he's doing there, he's showing that he can coach players and manage players that others couldn't, essentially. I mean, if you can get double figures out of Brandon Thomas Asante, then you deserve your plaudits, I think. But this is a good side. And the only reason why I think it's a good side is because Corbrand's in charge. Because, as I say, Ismail and Steve Bruce have led West Brom to just top half finishes, whereas Corbrand has got them knocking on the door of the playoffs last season and now in the playoffs this season. They're a good side, horrible side to play against if you're a team struggling. It's going to be such a tactical battle. I can't wait.
Yeah, well, it's particularly a struggle for Leicester when they are struggling to score as much as they are. West Brom, I've got the third best defensive record in the league, and they will be confident of keeping things tight against this shot-shy Leicester side. They're unbeaten in 7 away games, are West Brom. And with Leicester playing the way they are, West Brom will be smelling blood. They will 100% fancy their chances of doing a job on Leicester, because they've shown recently they can be there for the taking. And West Brom are a much trickier task than the likes of Millwall and Plymouth. And it's also got to be said, they need a result as well so they can really shore up a playoff place, Justin.
Yeah, they can. I think if you compare them to Leicester and Leeds, for example, I mean, yeah, West Brom have stumbled a little bit. I mean, it's not a stumble into a fall like Leicester and Leeds. They've tripped up a curb and they're hoping no one has noticed. They're trying to look around and to spare their own embarrassment, if they like. But they do need to hurry up and get back into their stride, because firstly, heading into the playoffs in form is so, so important. So if you can take a scalp like Leicester, that's going to do wonders for confidence within that team. And as well as that, yes, they have drawn a few games in the lead-up and obviously lost to Sunderland as well. So yeah, you are right. They do need to shore up their place. I'd be surprised if they fall out now. But you've got Hull and Coventry who will be looking to pounce on any slip-ups by the likes of Norwich and West Brom. So yeah, they do need to get a result, because I think confidence is the biggest thing here.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see if they do get a result, Justin, but it's now time for us to get our prediction hats on, because it's time for our second tier bet builder with SBK. And with SBK, you can curate your own bet builder from a range of markets for any championship game. It's easy, fast and secure on the SBK mobile app, and you'll find substantially better odds there than at any other bookmaker. So every Friday, we're making our own bet builder with four selections all relating to our game of the week. So that's two for Justin and two for me. Justin, can you tell me, please, what is your first selection?
I certainly can. I've gone with this game to be under 2.5 goals. Now, Leicester struggling to find the back of the net. You alluded to it earlier on. They failed to score against Plymouth and Millwall in the last two games. Two teams who you'd be expecting a promotion-chasing, title-chasing team to put away at the very least. And they struggled. They did create chances, but lacking confidence in front of goal. And now West Brom as well, they're not a team who prolifically score goals either. They're a low-scoring team. Corbram will take a 1-0 win. And with two teams pushing for a result and with pressure on it, I can't see it being a high-scoring game. Can only see West Brom making it difficult for Leicester. So I'm going with under 2.5 goals.
Yeah, I think that's a fair pick. And it kind of ties into what my first selection is, Justin. I've gone for the half-time result to be a draw. Now, kind of following on from what Justin was saying there, both these teams score the majority of their goals in the second half, 58% for West Brom, 59% for Leicester. So that's one factor I'm taking into account here. But I'm also envisaging a tight game where West Brom will try to soak up as much pressure as possible from Leicester, and I'm assuming you agree with me here.
Obviously I do, because as I say, this is going to be a tactical battle, and tactical battles do not, you know, seep out goals within the games. You know, it doesn't ooze goals, and I think, as I say, West Brom will make it difficult for Leicester. Leicester will probably create some chances and fail to get them anywhere near the goal, especially if passing. I'll be very confident in this bet builder if Patson Daka is playing. I think that would be the key takeaway here. So yeah, I do agree.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. Justin, give me another good pick, please. What's your second one?
Again, if Patson Daka is playing, this will certainly help this one. I'm going with West Brom to keep a clean sheet. Sorry, a lot of shade being thrown at Patson Daka here, but you do get my point. He misses chances. Look, it's hard to be convinced by this Leicester side at the moment. I think you only got to look at the last two results, as I've already pointed out. They're not very good results, and they're coming up against a team who are experts at keeping opposition teams at bay. So as I say, I'm going to be more comfortable in Carlos Corbran taking something away from this game, whether it be 3 points or even a draw. But the thing I am most comfortable with him taking away from this game is a clean sheet, because as I say, dangerous side when you're not on it. Leicester haven't been on it since February, and this West Brom team will be baying for blood, baying for fox blood.
They want a bit of that fox blood, don't they?
Oh yes.
And they will be looking to dig their teeth in at any moment. And with that being said, my final selection is double chance West Brom or draw. So what I'm essentially saying here, for anyone who's not too savvy with the whole betting side of things, is I'm saying Leicester will not win this game. And it goes back to everything that we've said here. Look, Leicester have dropped points now. They've lost to Millwall and Plymouth, two sides who are struggling right now. They're not great at all. So when you've got a side like West Brom, who are a substantially better team than those two, and they're coming up against this Leicester side who are very much out of sorts, you've got to fancy West Brom to get some form of results here. They are unbeaten on the road in their last seven games. So with that being said, I think West Brom to get a result here is a pretty safe pick, safe-ish pick, Justin. You know what? A good value pick is probably the best way of saying it.
Yeah, good value. I think the only time Leicester have been convincing in the last six games is probably against Norwich. And Norwich aren't exactly a good side away from home. And obviously Leicester beat them 3-1 at the, I keep calling it the Walkers, but he's saying, don't I, this season, the King Power Stadium. you know, Leicester are good at home and Norwich are very poor away. So it's really hard to sort of take that as golden. So yeah, really difficult to see Leicester getting anything from this game, especially it's just the core brand factor, West Brom needing to assure their place in the playoffs, and Leicester really are on their faces at the moment. It's really difficult to be convinced by them.
So that's mine and Justin's picks for our bet builder this weekend, and a £10 bet with SBK on this returns £80. But with SBK being absolutely class at what they do, you can claim a 25% winnings boost on bet builders for Leicester City versus West Brom, bringing us up to £100, max stake of £10, over 18s only, and T's and C's apply. Please gamble responsibly. So that bet builder again, under 2.5 goals, halftime result to be a draw, West Brom clean sheet, and double chance West Brom or draw, a £10 bet with SBK on that returns £100. Over 18s only, T's and C's apply. Please gamble responsibly. Justin, before we have a quick break, I wanted to get your thoughts on the news which has broken in the past 24 hours. FA Cup replays have been scrapped. They will no longer take place from the first round onwards. The FA says it comes after talks between them and the Premier League, who will be providing an extra £133 million per season in funding for the football pyramid. This is big news for EFL clubs, Justin, isn't it? What have you made of this news?
It's disappointing because FA Cup replays typically are the lifeblood of lower league sides, aren't they? Lower league sides, semi-pro sides, etc., those that make it to the first round proper and whatnot. Yeah, replays do a lot of good for the funding of those football clubs. It's a huge payday for them and can sometimes bankroll them for a year, 2 years. It can build new facilities. It's so, so important, especially if you get a big draw. So taking those replays away at the expense of Premier League moaning and fixture congestion is so, so frustrating, because again, it's just overlooking the value of the football pyramid and football in this country. I know the FA Cup has lost its glamour over the last few years, but what's really important here is the lower league rounds haven't lost its glamour. The games are shown on TV, they're full, you've got lower league fans oozing at the seams of grounds and struggling to get tickets. You only got to look at Maidstone United's run this season to identify that. So yeah, I'm disappointed. I do hope that the new funding does alleviate that pressure, but I don't think it's going to have a significant impact as replays do.
Yeah, it is disappointing because FA Cup replays have given so much vital funding to clubs over the years. A good example of that is Brentford in 2005, who were in League One and in £7 million of debt. They got a replay against Southampton, which gave the club £500,000. And it was then very ironic that Thomas Frank, the Brentford manager, said earlier this year that they should do away with replays because Brentford might not be a club if it wasn't for FA Cup replays 20 years ago. So I think this only serves Premier League clubs. It's a decision which benefits a small number of clubs in comparison to the number of clubs it mm-hmm. harms. And yes, players are playing too many games, but the ones at the top of the game, the clubs, they have enough resources to rotate squads. So I don't think that's a good enough excuse to completely banish FA Cup replays at all. I mean, EFL clubs, maybe not so much in the Championship, but lower down the pyramid, they will be missing out on money which they could really use. For me, the best idea for this whole saga would be for the two clubs who are facing each other, who have been drawing each other in the FA Cup, they should be asked whether they want to do a replay or not. If they both say yes, then they don't bother. They don't bother doing a replay. But if one or both of them say no, then they have a replay. That's how I think it was best approaching this, because then everyone's happy. The clubs can make their own decisions, but just doing this whitewash thing across the board, I think it just hampers a lot of clubs financially mm-hmm. and benefits a very small few in comparison to, you know, the several different clubs in Leagues 1, 2, Conference, and the levels below that as well. So it's a real shame. It's a real, real shame. Anyway, Justin, let's take a quick break. After that, we'll talk about some of the games we're making in our predictions for the weekend.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome back to the Second Tier podcast. So let's have a look ahead to the weekend. And in each preview episode of the Second Tier, Justin and I will each pick a banker, a team we think is guaranteed to win this coming weekend, as well as an outsider. So someone we think is going to win, but is bigger odds with our friends at SBK than their opponent. We're tracking how we do as the season goes on. 1 point for a correct banker, 2 points for an outsider. The loser has to do a forfeit, which would be a CrossFit workout for myself, while Justin would have to do a coach trip from Sunderland to Plymouth and back. And the current scores are 41-31 to the Dilks diehards. And as revealed in last Sunday's episode, I've now officially won for the season after Justin failed to better my score last week. So it's confirmed. Not only am I the bigger championship expert, Justin will be going on the coach trip from Sunderland to Plymouth and back. Have you booked it yet, Peachy?
Have I booked it yet? No, I haven't. Like I said, there are things that I need to plan around, Ryan. And as well as that, there is an appeal going into the Court of Arbitration of Sport. This is like Manchester City's 114 charges. It's very hollow 15. For you right now. 115 charges. It's very hollow for you now, Ryan. It's very hollow for you. Don't gloat just yet. We'll see what happens.
What are you accusing me of out of interest?
Bringing the game into disrepute.
How?
By being a... Just by being a knob.
I knew you were going to say that.
The entire campaign.
Not anything to do with me just being better at predictions than you then.
Listen, it's not about who's better at predictions.
That's what the competition is.
No, this is all for you. This is all about who gets these picks in first. And unfortunately, we didn't set a deadline. We didn't set boundaries at the start of the season. And we should have. And therefore, the game is in disrepute.
It isn't, because we strictly said that you could put your predictions in from Monday morning onwards. And how many times did you put in your predictions before me just in this season, do you think?
No. It's not about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would say Justin did it once all season, mainly because he forgot. So if he wants to take anyone to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, it should be himself for being bone idle.
Let's just say this. If I kept forgetting and I'm only 10 points off you, which is 3 game weeks... How much of an expert are you? Not much, right? Not much. You're not much of an expert, are you? If I'm only 10 points behind you and I barely put the effort in this year, just imagine what I can do if I engage all of my brain. Like Bradley Cooper in Limitless.
Okay. Well, who's a better player then out of Ravel Morrison and, I don't know... Wayne Rooney, because Ravel Morrison could have been a very good player, but he didn't put in any effort. So that's, you are essentially Ravel Morrison in this scenario, and I'm Wayne Rooney. So who's had the better career, Justin?
Doesn't matter who's had the better career, right?
Exactly. Proven, ladies and gentlemen. Better championship expert, better at predictions, and he's Ravel Morrison. Justin, what's your first pick for the weekend? What's your banker?
My banker is Southampton to win away at Cardiff. Yes, Cardiff fans will be on this and going, you've done this before. Well, you know, Southampton look irresistible at the moment, don't they? They look bloody brilliant. And Cardiff are falling into this They're on holiday. It feels like the players are going on holiday. We're in holiday
falling
mode.
Falling onto the beach.
They're falling onto the beach, exactly. And as I say, Southampton just look irresistible. They're putting teams to the sword and they are taking the automatic promotion race with as much seriousness as they should have done earlier on in the campaign, but they weren't. They did have some luck against Watford previous to the pressing game, obviously scoring late with a potential handball and a lot of added time. But look, they're taking the chances when the moment matters. Shea Adams is in form. He's got 5 in 5. He's basically morphed into Pippo Inzaghi right now because he is the definition of a goal hanger. And that's exactly what Southampton need. They need someone in that box who's clinical and putting away chances. And as I say, they're the only side at the moment in the top four who look confident. So therefore, Southampton away, 2-1 away at Cardiff.
Shea Inzaghi. There you go. You've heard it first, ladies and gentlemen.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in this one because, of course, Southampton are coming off the back of a very dominant win against Preston in midweek. It was a complete and utter walk in the park from their perspective. And you're also right, they were up against it in the game against Watford where it took a last-minute goal from Flynn Downs to wrap up the 3 points. And it's interesting to see what our friends at SBK are saying. Southampton are now just over 16-1 to win the league when they were 170-1 on April the 9th. So you can see how much they've entered the fold once again. So that's really interesting, isn't it? The one thing I'm particularly going to be interested to see is if Cardiff draw or even win this one, Justin, will they once again take the piss out of you and say banker of the weekend when it comes to the full-time result after it happened early on in the season? Was it the seven-side derby, I believe, wasn't it?
I can't remember which game it was, but it wasn't that long ago. Fingers crossed they do, because that's good for my ego, because it means I'm in the red, rent-free. I've got somewhere to stay in Cardiff for when I ever want to go on holiday to the Welsh capital.
There you go, Cardiff admin, if you hear this, please do it. Justin, let's go on to my banker, shall we? I've gone with Birmingham City to win away at Rotherham United. Now, this is a huge game in Birmingham's fight to stay up. They're 21st, 1 point above the relegation zone. However, they're heading into this with some much needed momentum. It's after an emphatic 3-0 win against Coventry last weekend. Birmingham were excellent. Jay Stansfield was causing havoc up front, causing all sorts of problems. Even Sunyich ran the midfield. And they also looked a lot sturdier at the back with Christian Bielik dropping into defence. So many positives to take from that game. It really could be a season-defining result. And one more victory might be enough to keep them up. And if you need a win, who's the one team you would want to face? Now, I will admit, if Rotherham still had Liam Richardson in charge and not Steve Evans, I would be feeling more confident on this one because I'm slightly fearful of a new manager bounce, particularly with someone like Evans, who I think will just look to frustrate Birmingham. But ultimately, the bottom line is this. Rotherham are shite. And any team who plays them has to be aiming for 3 points. So I'm definitely backing Birmingham this weekend. And I say no to any shout of a new manager bounce, Justin.
Yeah, you're not frightened of 3 pumps, Steve. Yeah, his fist pumps after the games.
Careful.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, we don't know what happens behind closed doors, but he might be 4 pumps, Steve. But anyway,
God.
But you know, the new manager bounce here, and Steve Evans, he loves to frustrate opposition. He loves to get under their skin and make things angry. He loves to get out at the referee. That could really swing things. But as you pointed out, Birmingham were fantastic in their previous game. I would think it would be incredibly ironic that after Tom Wagner came out and said, "This is our house," you know, out of St. Andrews, for them to then lose away at Rotherham the next week would be mildly amusing. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. It will be very interesting to see what happens. If that does happen, it will also be very interesting if we do see 3 pumps Steve and he starts giving it the old fist pumps after the game.
Yeah, but hopefully fist bumps.
Hopefully fist bumps, yes. But look, Birmingham, we've been saying this all season. This Birmingham team is actually quite good. It's just because they've been low on confidence for so long after the Wayne Rooney debacle. And now they've got a bit of confidence after that 3-0 tonking of Coventry last weekend. So that will hopefully give them belief and a bit of momentum, which they were desperately looking for before. So they should be heading into this Rotherham game much more confident than they were. And from a Steve Evans perspective, I think he's going to be looking at this and he'll either be fist pumping after the game. He'll be proper pumping in front of everyone, Justin, and everyone will be covering their eyes while he's pumping away. Or he'll be looking at this going, oh dear, I didn't realise how poor this squad is. And if you're going to ask me to choose which one I think is the more likely, I would say the latter on this occasion. So there are mine and Justin's two bankers for the weekend. Every week, we combine these two selections with a bet on the full-time results of our game of the weekend to create our very own second-tier featured multiple with SBK. So this week, we're going for Southampton, Birmingham to win, and Leicester v West Brom to be a draw. A £10 bet on that returns £92. And with SBK, you can create your own multiple with three or more bets on the full-time result of any game from across the Championship. T's and C's apply, over 18s only. And please do gamble responsibly. That's Southampton and Birmingham to win, Leicester v West Brom to be a draw. Come on, lads. Justin, what's your outsider for the weekend in the Championship?
The Stephen Schumacher derby. I've got my Plymouth to win away at Stoke. Plymouth have looked a little bit more like themselves under Neil Doonship, albeit it's only been a handful of games, two games so far. And Stoke have fallen into that complacency that they always find themselves in big moments once again. So this is a huge game for both sides because they both still need to pull away from the relegation zone. They're still both within 4 points, 4 points for Plymouth and 3 points for Stoke. Within that bottom three, so it's a precarious time for both teams. But I think Plymouth being in a position, obviously they are outsiders for this, they're just looking a little bit more confident than Stoke. Obviously, getting a result against Leicester, winning, albeit riding their luck, and then you know, they're just looking more assured. Three games unbeaten, two wins in that time, and as I say, Stoke have tripping over themselves once again, being very Stoke. It's very hard to put your money behind them and get convinced by them. So for me, Plymouth to get one over Stephen Schumacher, potentially plunge them into the bottom three, which would be incredibly poetic after he left them earlier on in the season.
Yeah, the Stephen Schumacher derby. Big game, isn't it, Justin? Really big game. I mean, it's a relegation six-pointer anyway, isn't it? But with the added spice of Stephen Schumacher, you know, leaving Plymouth a few months ago to go to Stoke, and it's not gone particularly well for him since then, nor Plymouth for that matter. It adds a bit of spice here, doesn't it? I was thinking about this. Do you think in a few months' time, let's say 6 months' time, maybe 9 months' time, Stephen Schumacher may be looking at his career choices from the past 12 months and maybe be thinking, I might be regretting making that move, Justin? Should Plymouth stay up?
Well, yeah, Stoke might be top of the league in 6 months' time.
Let's assume both these teams stay up. Do you think we could be seeing that scenario?
I think potentially. I mean, look, the finances Stoke have got and the potential Stoke have got is so vast, but they're not as well run as Plymouth. Now, I know some listeners might go, well, if they're so well run, why did they sack Ian Foster within a few weeks, a few games? They admitted they were wrong. And I think if you've got an ownership who would take an ownership and director of football who would take responsibility for that very quickly, then you're not hands off to you. At what point have Stoke ever taken responsibility for a poor managerial appointment, poor recruitment or anything like that? I've not seen an ounce of leadership come out of that club in a long time. So maybe if depending on how next season goes, depending on how the summer goes, if Stoke find themselves below Plymouth, Stephen Schumacher might look and reflect and go, you know what, I should have stayed at Plymouth. They might have some regrets, but look, I think the move to Stoke was an ambitious one, more money, closer to home, etc. There's a lot going for Stephen Schumacher, which might have swayed him a little bit more. But I think from a career perspective, from a footballing perspective, yes, hindsight serves wonders and maybe should have stayed at Plymouth.
Yeah, we shall see, won't we, Justin? But yeah, it's going to be a very interesting one this weekend, particularly with what's at stake with the subplots with it as well.
Yes.
Let's go on to my outsider, Justin. I've gone with Preston to win away at QPR. Now, this might not go down as the biggest story of the weekend, but this is low-key a massive game for Queen's Park Rangers. They're 19th, only 3 points clear of the relegation zone, but they're two games remaining after this, a Leeds at home and then Coventry away. So it's a bloody tough ending to the season for them, and they could really do with winning here to get survival over the line. The problem is, They're really struggling to do that. They recently lost at home to Wednesday, drawn away at Plymouth, and then got beaten 3-0 by Hull. And one of the main issues that they're finding right now is their forwards can't find the back of the net for love nor money. They've scored 4 goals in the last 8 games, and those goals have been scored by Steve Cook, Jimmy Dunn, who are both defenders, and Sam Field, who's a ball-winning midfielder, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
So they could really do with a striker finding their shooting boots, but Lyndon Dykes is without a goal in 15 games. Sinclair Armstrong has 4 goals all season, and new signing Michael Frey has looked hopeless since coming in. So it's far from ideal, and look, it's not just the strikers. The forwards aren't really chipping in either, are they? So they're facing a Preston side whose season is over now, and, you know, that can go one of 2 ways, really. They're either on the beach or the pressure's off them. So who knows? They were really poor against Southampton in midweek. We will put that out there. So at the same time, that was when they still had something to play for. So who knows? What we do know is QPR have to win, or they could be in serious trouble, especially when you look at some of the other fixtures from around the Championship this weekend. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, the context of their games against Leeds and Coventry are massive because they're 2 very good teams. I mean, QPR have got a good habit of rising to the fore against teams who are higher than them in the division. But look, they were poor against Hull, albeit they did concede a couple of worldies against them, but they were really poor and they didn't really answer too much. Not great against Sheffield Wednesday either, and the goals they conceded against Wednesday were, again, really, really poor. There's a lot of disappointment there from a QPR perspective. And as I say, their strength, probably since the turn of the year, has been their defensive qualities, and those defensive qualities have waned a little bit over the last 3 games. And if your defensive qualities have waned a little bit and you're relying on your defenders to score goals at the other end of the pitch, you're in a heap of trouble. And I don't think this Preston side will let up under Ryan Lowe like they have done in previous seasons. I know it's only, 3 games left. I don't think they'll let up. I think he'll want to push as high as they possibly can, which will be an incredible feat if they can finish higher than 10th. So, yeah, I think now's the time that Ryan Lowe will put his foot down on the gas, and won't make for good reading for QPR.
No, it definitely won't. And QPR did look like they were cruising towards safety not too long ago, didn't they?
Well, but the recent results... I suggested Cifuentes should have been manager of the season over Kieran McKenna. Since then, it's gone to shit.
Did you? I don't remember that, Justin. It did look like they were cruising to safety, and now it's all gone a bit Pete-tong at the worst time. When I say a bit, I must emphasise a bit, because it is only 3 games, but you look at their 2 remaining games after this one, that's why they have got to make the most of this. But another problem, which I haven't even mentioned, is QPR have the second worst home record in the Championship. Yeah. Only won 2 more points at home this season than Rotherham, which says a lot, doesn't it? So, you know, they've got to make the most of this, otherwise they are in... They'll be certainly looking over their shoulder, won't they, when it didn't look like that would be the case a matter of weeks ago. Justin, guess what?
What? What? Tell me.
It's time for this.
Scott High or Ryan Lowe?
Little kiss is all we need. You're the best. Fucking shit, mate.
Yes, you better bloody believe it. It's time for Scott High or Ryan Lowe. This is the game where we have to rank 4 things from highest to lowest. It's as simple as that. And there's 3 questions this week. Justin is providing the questions to me. So what have you got for me, Justin Peach, you bastard?
Oh, I've got some good ones. The first one is all to do with the champions of years gone by. So I want you to rank for me the highest total points that these teams went up as champions.
Okay.
Burnley 22-23, Norwich 20-21, Newcastle 16-17, and Wolves 17-18. So rank the highest total points that these teams went up with.
Good question. Good question, mate. Right. The top one I'm pretty certain is between Newcastle and Burnley. I'll leave that off the table for now, because I think Wolves got the... Did Wolves get the least? And I was starting to wonder how much that Norwich team got. It was the... Which was it? 2021.
So it was the second season that Daniel Farke took Norwich up to the PL.
Okay. I'll go with Newcastle top, then Burnley. Wolves or Norwich? I'm pretty sure Wolves... didn't get 100, but I don't think Norwich did either. So with that being said, I'll go Wolves, Norwich. So Newcastle, Burnley, Wolves, Norwich.
Newcastle, Burnley, Wolves, Norwich. I tell you what, that was dreadful. Oh. That was utter carnage. Honestly, a Championship expert would have got that. I would have got that because I am the resident Championship expert on this show. So Burnley's 22-23 title-winning side accumulated 101 points under Vincent Kompany.
Okay.
Then it was Wolves with 99 points.
Do you know what I may have done here? I may have been mixing up my Newcastle teams because I think the one who got promoted in like 10-11
It was the 09-10 season.
09-10, yeah.
Yeah, so this was the Rafa Benitez side, but they finished bottom. So Norwich's 20-21 side accumulated 97 points, and then Newcastle under Rafa Benitez in 16-17 accumulated 94 points. Fraudulent behaviour from Rafa Benitez and that team.
So really what I did there was get my Newcastle sides mixed up, because otherwise, that's my fault. You know what? Fair enough. I've got to take the blame for that.
Well done. Correct. You should. Next question is, I want you to tell me which team has accumulated the most yellow cards this season. I was surprised by some of these numbers. Mm. Very surprised. The teams are Leeds, Ipswich, Stoke and Southampton.
Well, this is very much a shot in the dark for me.
It absolutely is.
Leeds, Stoke, Southampton. Who is the other one?
Ipswich.
Ipswich. Well, obviously the classic line is dirty Leeds.
It is.
Isn't it? Are they that dirty, though, nowadays? I would imply no. So I'm trying to think of shithouses in that team, and it's not a shithouse full kind of team, is it? Not necessarily compared to Ipswich, who have Sam Morsey, who's a big shithouse, Massimo Luongo. He's been to the shithouse school, I think that's fair to say. So I'll definitely put Ipswich above Leeds. Southampton. No, I'll put them below Ipswich, I think. And then I'll go Ipswich, Southampton, Leeds, and then Stoke was the other one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Stoke, that's a bit of a random one.
It is.
I'll put Stoke below Ipswich, but above Southampton. So Christ. Ipswich, Stoke, Southampton, Leeds.
Ipswich, Stoke, Southampton, Leeds.
Yes.
You're so close. You got Stoke and Ipswich the wrong way round.
No!
The wrong way round.
I was going to put them above them as well. No!
So the reason why I brought Stoke into this is because there's a bit of the Tony Pulis factor and just kicking lumps out of people. But also, I can't really name too many shithouses in that team other than Ben Pearson. And he's not accumulated 100 yellow cards this season. But Stoke are top with 100 yellow cards.
Jordan Thompson's got 13, which is the most in the division.
He is prolific. Ipswich are next with 96 yellow cards. Then Southampton with 91.
Cool.
What's going on in that Southampton team? Russell Martin, what are you doing?
Bunch of bastards.
And then dirty Leeds are in fact squeaky clean Leeds with 62 yellow cards. I think they're the lowest in a division.
Jordan Thompson has the joint most cards in the league. He's only played 29 games this season. He's got 13 yellow cards.
That's a good
pretty good going, that
card to game ratio.
Yeah, good on him. Justin, what's the final question?
Is it beer garden weather? Yeah,
no.
It's beer garden. It's beer garden weather. Come on.
Have you been outside? It's awful.
Minus the hail, it's beer garden weather. So with that being said, I want you to rank for me Britain's favourite beers. Favourite beers. The beers I've selected are Heineken, Carlsberg, Carling and Guinness.
Okay. Surely not Carlsberg and Heineken. I am not a massive Carling fan, I've got to say, but I think it is very popular. As is Guinness, though. So, I'll put Carlsberg bottom, Heineken second bottom, then Guinness or Carling? I think Carling might be top and then Guinness. So I'll go Carling, Guinness, Heineken, Carlsberg.
He's nailed it.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Not a championship expert, but a beer expert. Oh, yes indeed.
Oh, yes. He looks like a man who loves a beer. Well, I actually love a cider, but it's nonetheless.
I love beer as well now. My taste has changed. I used to be very much a cider-only drinker, but now I do more beer, to be honest, Justin.
Mm. Yeah, no, I can tell. Carling are the most popular ones. I don't know why, because it's generally one of the worst tasting things I've ever tasted.
Guess we're not being sponsored by Carling anytime soon, then.
Yeah. Maybe they will. I'll change my mind. Guinness is next. I've never understood the Führer of a Guinness. Everyone loves it, but I can't.
I like a Guinness on occasion. It tastes a lot better when you're in Dublin, though.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, and then Heineken and Carlsberg are next. I do like a Heineken. It's a good Pilsner. Tastes a bit banana-y. I love it. But yeah, that's it. It's beer garden weather, and I hope everyone enjoys their beers in their gardens.
Yeah, if you live in Benidorm, because if you're here in England, that is definitely not beer garden weather. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Scott Hire, Ryan Lowe, and this has been the Second Tier Podcast, and we shall be back on Sunday, where we go through all the games in the Championship this weekend. And as we have been saying repeatedly throughout this episode, it's another massive weekend in the Championship story. So let's read it together, shall we? Well, as I say, this has been the previous show brought to you by SBK. Just before we go, if you won't mind dropping us a review on whichever podcast platform you listen to us on, it helps us go a long way to growing as a podcast, and we will be eternally grateful to you for doing that. So if you're able to take just 5 seconds of your time to do it, then thank you. Otherwise, this has been the Second Tier Podcast. We'll be back again on Sunday. I've been Ryan Dilks.
I've been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.